Welcome to the LDN Radio Show, brought to you by the LDN Research Trust. I'm your host, Linda Elsiegood. I have an exciting lineup of guest speakers who are LDN experts in their field. We will be discussing low-dose naltrexone and its many uses in autoimmune diseases, cancers, etc. Thank you for joining us. This week, it's my pleasure to bring to you a presentation from the LDN book Volume 2 Tour, October 2020.
But next, we're actually going to shift focus and go over to Dr. Sarah Zielsdorf. I've been working with Dr. Zielsdorf for a couple years now. My business partner, Mark, who usually is the MC for these types of events, has been working with her for many years. And actually before the last week, I've met Linda when we used to do radio shows, or Doctor and the Pharmacist. I've talked to her there, but over the last week, I've gotten to know Linda a lot more. And over the last couple of years, I've gotten to know Dr. Sarah Zielsdorf quite a bit more. She is the head physician over at Motivated Medicine in Illinois. It is a fantastic practice. And like Sarah mentioned before, that the time that you spend with these practitioners compared to where you go to maybe a much larger facility, so some of the bigger conglomerates of medical doctors, that and it's not their fault. They just don't have the time that they're able to spend with you. And so right now, I'm going to pass that on over to Dr. Zielsdorf. She's going to be talking about her experience using it as a patient. Now, she's got plenty of experience, and we'll talk later after my segment about what you can do as a prescriber. But right now, she's going to be focusing on the patient's perspective as a patient using low-dose naltrexone. So, and then, by the way, go to the bottom of your screen, you go to the question and answer, and then at the end of her session, I'll go reviewing some of those questions.
Thank you so much, Greg. So I work very closely with Mark Drugs due to our proximity, and I've had the great joy of working with both Dr. Mark and Dr. Greg Badagowski and all of the Mark Drugs staff. They've been amazing. And Dr. Mark Mandel was and is a tremendous mentor for me. And I wanted to say that publicly. Dr. Mark has been such a champion for the LDN Research Trust. And because Dr. Mark is the founder and the face of Mark Drugs, he is has done so much for our community of chronic illness patients. And he has been one of our greatest champions and has devoted so much of himself and his business to supporting that. And I want to talk, I'm gonna share my screen. I'm gonna be split up into two segments. And I'm going to talk first about my own experience. Bear with me as I share this. And so welcome to my segment of the launch. I am incredibly excited because I can say that I came to low-dose naltrexone as a desperate patient, not as a physician. And my story begins, like so many, with a crisis. Before I get into that, I'll tell you just a little bit about myself. I am a board certified internal medicine physician in the US. I have a certification in functional medicine by the Institute for Functional Medicine. And I have an advanced degree in medical microbiology, public health, and emerging infectious diseases. And I have been, since 2019, a research and medical advisor to the LDN Research Trust. And I have been speaking on behalf of the trust since 2017. And I have been involved with teaching, prescribing, or being involved in general with LDN since 2013. So my story starts with my car. And this is not my car, but this is a reasonable facsimile of my 2003 Hyundai, except my 2003 Hyundai was very beloved. By the time it finally kicked the bucket leaking steering fluid with my newborn in the car last two falls ago, It was worth $200. And I absolutely loved my Hyundai. It was green. It was mint green and had a spoiler. So imagine that. How it started was I was driving home from residency in my first year of residency. And it was about 6 miles from home. And I pulled in to my Chicago bungalow behind. My cat was in the window. I looked up, I saw him. And I went to unbuckle my seatbelt and got out to get out of my car. And I couldn't get out of my car. I felt lightning, excruciating pain. And I said, which I had chronic pain before, and I'm going to go into why. But I said, is this it? Am I done? It was so much fear that I wouldn't be able to walk. And somehow, after what seemed like ages, I was able to get out of the car. But it was the beginning of a tremendous flare. And I did not know that I had autoimmune disease for many years before that. But it started a long string of a severe illness. And at that time, I had presented to my doctor and a series of specialists. I had been treated for hypothyroidism with the standard of care medicine for more than 10 years. I was diagnosed hypothyroid in college, but it didn't seem to matter that my medical history revealed 3 generations of hypothyroid women and multiple autoimmune diseases in my family. But I was treated with the standard of care and in medical school, and I had had a widely fluctuating TSH levels of 0.5 to 10 on the standard of care T4 treatment. And my symptoms would get worse and better depending on my stress levels or what was going on. I had severe inflammation. I gained about 50 pounds in medical school. I had severe micronutrient deficiencies. And I had had, of note, recurrent anxiety and depression since childhood that was poorly understood and never successfully treated, although I had been in therapy. I had had fibromyalgia symptoms, severe pain, and in general, very poor quality of life. I had an ultrasound that revealed a severely enlarged liver and then a biopsy that showed initial grade of fibrosis. And it was quite devastating after being told that there was nothing wrong with me, only to be told by the same specialist that there was nothing that they could do for me and that I might die of this disease. And I was a young doctor who was unable to work. My quality of life became worse in my first year of residency. And I subsequently became bedbound. This was me in May of 2012, before the beginning of the end. As you can see, my face is quite swollen. I was very, very sick. I didn't know it. On the right, in September 2014, I weighed about 50 pounds less, and I was newly a mom. That was about a month postpartum, and I felt great. And all things should have been well. There's a big story in between. But I would flare 3 months after having my daughter, and that's where my LDN story began. Backing up, no antibodies had ever been checked for me. And I had to beg. Note, at this time, I was a doctor. In 2012, I was a resident physician. And I begged my endocrinologist to check me for antibodies to Hashimoto's. And the answer was, even if you have this, the treatment is the same. Why would I check you? After seeking out several physicians, I found someone that would work with me. My antibodies were in the tens of thousands. And this was after more than a decade of already being treated for hypothyroidism. At that point, my thyroid was severely scarred and I was severely undertreated. Because of the underlying inflammation and stress and years of working 30-hour shifts and everything else, I had multiple other comorbidities and was gravely ill because of that. And I couldn't work. Everything failed at that point. My first year of residency, I couldn't think. I couldn't write a note. I had severe brain fog. I had severe intolerances to foods. I didn't have a period. And I was told by a specialist that I couldn't have children, which was incredibly devastating. I had spent more than 10 years of my life earning a bachelor's in microbiology, a master's in public health and infectious disease, my MD, and plans to be an infectious disease specialist, only to be thrown out nearly like garbage in my program. They didn't know what to do with me. I was of no use, I couldn't work. And so I was put on medical leave, and I, from my bed, started reading. I started reading, how can I survive everything? And I started to learn how the metabolism of nutrients and fats and all of these metabolic things happens via the liver, and that hypothyroidism and poorly controlled hypothyroidism and other genetic factors go with it. And I found someone who would test a full thyroid panel. And I got put on the right thyroid medication. And I found out that due to my Hashimoto's, I had severe food intolerances, and I had sensitivity to things like gluten. Now, only 2 months after I was able to be on the right thyroid medicines for me, I unexpectedly conceived our daughter. And I had been back to work only a few months at that point, which was a big shock to my team. But as it turns out, I had healed so well that my body was able to have children. And it was an amazing, phenomenal process of healing due to intensive lifestyle modifications, the right thyroid medicine, and working with clinicians in a field of what I call functional medicine, or looking at all the modifiable lifestyle factors that go into modifying a person's environment, and thus epigenetically, or how the environment affects your genes. So little of what we have genetically absolutely defines our destiny. It's something like over 90% of illness can be controlled by our environment, and less than 10% is genetics. It's pretty profound. And this experience just taught me that, no, I didn't have to feel this way, and that the chronic depression and anxiety that I had was a result of years of chronic systemic inflammation and neuroinflammation. And the final piece of the puzzle was low-dose naltrexone, which I'll get into. Now, I want to talk about a little bit about pain, because remember me in that car? So I am not a stranger to pain. I joke around, and I shouldn't joke around, that having my babies was easy for me. It was actually at least a pain that I could understand. I was actually born with tracheoesophageal fistula. I was born 6 weeks early. And I had a congenital vertebral defect that goes along with that. And so when they operated on me as a newborn baby, I had to be pretty much filleted in half. That's how they got to do the repair. And I also had a gastrostomy tube as well. So I have scars front to back of my body. And I have significant adhesions on the right side of my body from all the scarring. And because my muscles grew wrong, because one side was inhibited because of all of that scar tissue, and they didn't know this stuff back then, I developed severe scoliosis. And then you compound that with years of punched over a book and, you know, and all of the other things that you're not supposed to do. And so I was no stranger to chronic pain. But I tell you, when I got into that car that day, it was a different pain. It was a terrifying pain. And it's something that today, when a patient tells me about their pain, it's a very visceral thing for me to say, I understand. I don't understand what your pain is like, but I understand the fear of being incapacitated by your pain. And I think it's pretty funny because in the chronic pain world, everybody kind of shares war wounds. Like, it's kind of like Jaws, you know, where everybody's comparing their scars. And I always laugh about that because it's like, oh yeah, mine's worse, you know? So I talk about how I have Hashimoto's, and with Hashimoto's, a lot of people who have had years of substandard thyroid treatment develop chronic pain because cellularly this hypothyroidism causes a lot of inflammation and it causes pain. And for some people, fibromyalgia can be subclinical or cellular hypothyroidism where a person is not getting enough active thyroid medicine. And I found out that after all of the time that I had been on thyroid meds that I couldn't get the T3 where it needed to go into the cells. And like Linda said, taking low dose naltrexone turned on lights for her. It made things come alive in her that hadn't been there. And for me, the pieces were getting T3 to my cells. It was like opening the door, and it was Dorothy in Oz coming out from her Aunt Em's house in black and white and suddenly stepping out in Technicolor. I remember the first dose of natural desiccated thyroid that I took. I remember the exquisite timing of having that medicine hit my cells. And you would think that everything would be fine. I was working. But as it turns out, after I had my child in 2014 and I was working and I was doing all of those good things, I flared because people with autoimmunity who have triggers, and one of the biggest triggers for women and their thyroid is pregnancy. And in the postpartum time, the immune system flips from being more supportive of protecting a baby that's growing and preventing loss. And that's called flipping to more of a Th2 dominant immune system, whereby you do not attack oneself or your own tissues as much, and you're more susceptible to some infections. And then it flipped back to this de novo state, which in my case is to attack my thyroid. And I would not be here in front of you had I not had a doctor that was treating my thyroid that also prescribed low-dose naltrexone. And it was a very incredible thing. I was at very high risk of losing my job. I was a resident. And I was told at Christmas time that either you do have a medical condition or you need to rethink your life because you are not performing as a doctor well. And it was one of the most heartbreaking, stressful experiences of my life because I had all of those symptoms back after regaining my life, the brain fog, the fatigue, the pain. I had a beautiful girl, beautiful baby that I was nursing. And I was stressed because I was a senior resident and I was having to manage my interns and report to an attending that didn't like me very much and taking care of very, very sick people at Christmas, sick veterans at the VA. And I went to my doctor and I said, I'm going to be fired because this medicine, meaning my thyroid, wasn't right and things weren't right. And he put me on low-dose naltrexone, and within 1 month, my job was saved. I attenuated that flare. Obviously, I was eating in a very specific way. I was resting. I was taking very good care of myself. But low-dose naltrexone in 2014 began this journey. So when I talk to my patients, I tell them, I say, hey, I'm not just the president of the Hair Club for Men. I'm also a client. So when I talk about this, this is a very, very personal journey. I became a staunch LDN advocate. And in 2017, so the word kind of got out. I had done some talks on LDN in my community. I'd been working with Mark Drugs. Mark and I talk over each other. So when we get on the radio together, it's pretty funny. There's about 10 minutes of actual talking, you know, because of all the ads and everything. And neither of us can talk. We can't talk enough. So we got the word out that there was this young doctor that was very into LDN, very into prescribing. And I'm not sure how I got introduced to Linda Elsegood. But at the 11th hour of the 2017 LDN conference, one of a very esteemed speaker had to pull out. And Linda contacted me quite literally with 24 hours to prepare a PowerPoint and said, can you speak on CFFME or chronic fatigue syndrome? And I said, only if you want me to blow up the dais, because I'm going to tell you that chronic fatigue syndrome doesn't exist. She goes, okay, whatever, do whatever. So I blew it up in 2017. And since then, I've been a huge advocate in the LDN community, and I'm a volunteer. So I am not, I don't make a direct dime from any of this work. My authorship in the LDN book, my work as a mentor, and also now, as of 2019, I am very, very honored to be one of the medical and research advisors to the LDN Research Trust. I'm going to talk about later on about Jared Younger's work and our community of doctors, the doctors and researchers that are part of this. We are all volunteer. We all do this because there is no glory in LDN. LDN is an inexpensive medicine. Pharmacist, Craig, I don't think you're getting rich off LDN.
No.
So it's none of us are doing this because it's a glorious thing to do. We are using LDN personally. We see what it's done for our patients' lives personally, and as prescribers and pharmacists, we have been able to really advocate for a burgeoning science. And the coolest part about being part of this is that I am now doing a lot of work on the research side as well. I've treated thousands of patients with LDN. I talked to one of our other advisors. I didn't realize when I went to the LDN conference in 2017 that I had already been prescribing more than the average bear. I asked a very venerated specialist in the United States. He asked, we were asked how many patients we had treated, and he said, oh, in the last 10 years, maybe 1,500. And he said, oh, in the last 2 years, I've treated maybe 2-3 years, 3,000. So I didn't realize that I was prescribing so much, but it's because so many of my patients have a possible benefit that they could have. And there are rarely a reason to not try it if other things have been attempted and a patient would like to try it. And that's what I'm going to talk about later. I wanted to end by saying just a couple of things before I end and turn the floor over to you before I speak again. But this is how I speak to my patients and teach this. And maybe Craig, you'll take this. I think it's pretty funny. So who benefits the most from LDN? How can a clinician, or how can someone that may be listening tonight, how can you know if you're maybe a really good candidate for this? So you're going to hear that LDN is amazing, that LDN is like magical, that LDN is perfect. And I'm going to tell you that it isn't a panache. Rarely, if you have a chronic condition, is LDN going to be like rainbows and sunshine and make everything better and, make you dunk like Jordan? It's not going to work. Like, I'm 4'11". I can't dunk like Jordan now. Can't do it. But what I can do is I can live a much better life that is enabling me to have much less chronic inflammation. Now, how can you know if you're someone that might have this chronic inflammation? Well, are you a glass half empty kind of person, or are you a glass half full person? And I can tell you, until about age 30, I was a glass half empty person. And if someone had to describe me, I was that emo kid wearing all black, I still wear all black and I like black, I'm wearing blue today, but I was that kid, I was that emo kid wearing all black. I was a very unhappy, glass half empty kind of outlook person. And we now know that that's often caused by a low endorphin state. And when I talk about this, I say, well, look at the Winnie the Pooh characters. Every Winnie the Pooh character has a DSM-5 certifiable mental health condition, okay? So Eeyore has MDD, he has major depressive disorder. But guess what? Eeyore is really cute. And I love Eeyore's. I was an Eeyore. See, Eeyore is very cute. He wants to be told that he's cute. He wants someone to compliment him on his pink bow. It's beautiful bow. And he wants to be invited by his friends. That's something that Winnie the Pooh does really well. His friends always ask Eeyore to go with them. And he's like, no, I don't want to. You know, and they don't bother him. If he doesn't want to go, he doesn't want to go. But Eeyore has a low endorphin state. And so are you an Eeyore type person? Or are you one of the other characters? If this, and I'm being a little larger than life about this, because this is how I teach my patients. If you have a low endorphin state, it is something that LDN works to address, and it may make a bigger difference in your life, especially if you've been treated with antidepressants or other medicines. Because I'm coming to my next point. If you have an underlying chronic inflammation, and by the way, Craig, do you know what this picture is?
No, it looks famous though.
This is the great
Chicago fire.
The great Chicago fire,
oh, okay.
The great conflagration of 1871, okay? So not everyone's from Chicago. I was just teaching about this. I teach and I use a lot of funny stories and stuff because I'm breaking down pretty intense topics, and I want my patients to really understand everything. So Great Chicago Fire really heralded and made Chicago, cleared a slate for Chicago to have modern architecture and be an amazing, amazing Midwestern, bastion, just amazing. But it was a tremendous, tremendous disaster. And patients who have underlying inflammation, who will have an inflammatory mediated depression, people who have an elevated erythrocyte sedimentation rate, or ESR, especially Dr. Jared Younger found that those were the fibromyalgia patients that had the greatest relief when they took low-dose naltrexone. And so I look at these biomarkers and I look at these symptoms. When I ask patients if LDN might benefit them, these are some clues that I can look for to see, would LDN help? Now, does LDN help people who don't have these biomarkers? Sure, because inflammation can be measured in so many different ways. And I do that. We look at that. And I'm going to talk about some of the things that I do later. And just going to say that in my experience, the majority of my patients absolutely love low-dose naltrexone. And it's just such an important part of my practice because I'm able to give back so much for a science that I love and working with amazing people that I wouldn't have been able to work, to do in my life. But my whole trajectory changed. I started learning functional medicine from my bed to heal myself. I wanted to be an infectious disease doctor, and I do more microbiology and infectious disease every single day now than I would have had I been an ID doc prescribing vancomycin in the hospital. I mean, that's just the hugest gift of my autoimmunity. I've been able to serve thousands of people and give people a lot of hope where there just isn't, we have a couple minutes, Greg, before your session. I thought that I would do my Q&A all together at the end, but do you have anything that you want to ask me or for me to cover before you start?
Well, we do have a couple of questions here, but one of them I want to make sure that you address first is that people who are interested in becoming a patient of Motivated Medicine, how are they able to get a little more information about your specific practice and contact you? What's the best way for them to go about perhaps enrolling as a patient with you?
So for right now, we are brand new moving into our new office. So everything is a little bit in flux. We are also rebranding and having a new website made and new everything made. So we have a temporary kind of holding page with information. It's www.motivatedmedicine.com. Motivated, as in I am motivated to get to the root cause of what's going on, and my patients are motivated to work together to solve these issues. It is myself and two nurse practitioners right now. Right now I have less of a wait for my NPs. If a patient has a very complicated case or course, or has seen many, many specialists, my team may ask them and not give them a choice to see my nurse practitioner. They may need to see me first before seeing the nurse practitioner. We are private self-pay practice because we spend a lot of time with our patients. Our first visit is 90 minutes. And after that appointment, I sit and I review and I spend a lot more time digging in to solve problems. My wait list is several months right now, I believe. Don't quote me on that. My nurse practitioners are less. We're just quite backed up right now, and I know there's a large list of people to call, but there is an inquiry form on our website that you can go to, and you can also call. There's a number on there. We are seeing our patients in office, and we are also doing limited telemedicine, though the state laws vary on what we can do as far as what the requirements are. If you are in Chicago, there, we'd love to see you in person. Otherwise, for your specific case, it's good to send an inquiry, and then also just to be patient right now because we have a lot of interest.
Thank you very much. And your story, it's hard to believe because all I've seen since I've known you is just a ball of energy. You know, all these still hearing you on the radio and talking with you on the radio occasionally. And seeing you in person, other presentations that we've actually co-presented. To believe that you were at that state and how much low-dose naltrexone as not the one thing that turned everything around, like you mentioned, all the other things that you did to actually improve your health, and that this low-dose naltrexone comes in to help with your specific conditions that you're treating, especially Hashimoto's. Now, there is another question out there, but I think it might be more appropriate for after you're as a practitioner, as a prescriber type Absolutely. Question, because it does hit home right there. I guess for the time being, we'll switch over to my topic, which I'll be talking about what you can do with low-dose naltrexone and my experience as a dispenser of this medication. Now, when I first became a pharmacist, I had known what naltrexone was, but I wasn't actually given, I knew that it was something that was for mostly opioid dependents. So what happens is when you use these low doses, you get a completely different type of reaction to it.
Any questions or comments you may have, please email me, Linda, Linda, at ldnrt.org. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciated your company. Until next time, stay safe and keep well.